fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the May 20th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. It's the fifth day of action at the inaugural Basketball Africa League tournament in Kigali, Rwanda. The 12-team league for top professional clubs in Africa is backed by both the NBA, the National Basketball Association, and FIBA, the International Basketball Federation. And I'm proud to report the Voice of America is an official broadcasting partner of the new Basketball Africa League, or BAL. And this quick VOA broadcasting note, I'll be joining Mukbil Yabaro and Prince Nesta at halftime of Thursday's BAL game between AS Saleh of Morocco and AS Police of Mali. That game tips off this evening, Thursday evening, at 1900 GMT UTC at the Kigali Arena in Rwanda. And I'll also be talking BAL hoops with Mukbil and Prince after the Saleh AS Police contest. So please tune in. Once again, that game begins at 1900 GMT UTC. Now, Saleh edged another police team, FAP of Cameroon, in its opening game, 87-84. And AS Police of Mali lost its first game to Petro de Luanda of Angola, 84-66. In BAL results Wednesday at the Kigali Arena, Ferroviario de Maputo of Mozambique defeated AS Douanes of Senegal, 88-74. And local favorite Patriots of Rwanda gave the home fans in Kigali plenty to cheer about with a 78-72 win against GNBC of Madagascar. It was the second win in a row for the Patriots, and it puts them through to next week's quarterfinals. And for the second game in a row, American Brandon Costner led the Rwandan Patriots in scoring. Costner was signed just before the BAL tournament tipped off, and he tallied 16 points on Wednesday.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Liz Mills, the female head coach of Kenya's national men's basketball team, is picking the Tunisian side, Monastir, to lift the trophy in Kigali on May 30th.
The favorites to win this, and if they don't make the finals, I would be shocked. This will be USM from Tunisia. This is basically the Tunisian national team with some imports. And we all are very aware of how strong their national team is. They're led by who I think is the best point guard in Africa, Omar Abada, and he's surrounded by elite veterans in Makram Ben Romdan and Murad El Mabrouk. So they all start from the Tunisian national team, three starters in your team plus imports. This team is really well coached. They've got a young coach. He's 35. They recently won the Tunisian title again, and they've got great depth. So I would be, they're a team worth keeping an eye on. They've got some great players. And then it's in terms of who they would play in the final, for me, it's either going to be Petro de Luanda from Angola or Zamalek from Egypt.
The Australian coach, Liz Mills, says she's proud to be the first woman to lead a men's national basketball team to a major continental tournament. Mills guided the Kenyan men's team to its first qualification for the AfroBasket Championship Tournament in 28 years.
Have Kenya got anything left in the tank? They played so well. It's been an incredible performance. A long two is good! Unreal! Extraordinary play! Extraordinary moment! Kenya have beaten Angola at the buzzer!
Reflecting on that extraordinary moment, Liz Mills looks back on her coaching career.
I started coaching basketball at 16 and then decided to take it pretty seriously by studying sports science and sports management at university. And then I did my master's in coaching in 2013.
With her master's in coaching, Liz Mills says she's also brought some new strategies and tactics to Kenyan men's basketball.
Me coming in allowed this team to elevate its game in terms of playing a more international style of basketball that is continental, that we see at FIBA events. So more structure on offense, more strategy on defense, better communication. I think we had players all on the same page, and I brought in data analytics or sports analytics and film analysis, so we were really prepared, and that was our advantage.
And I think Liz Mills is probably seeking more advantages during the Basketball Africa League tournament, which is being held at the Kigali Arena. That same arena will stage AfroBasket 2021, the African Men's Continental Championship, at the end of August. And I'm sure Coach Mills is scouting players who are currently competing in Kigali.
Sporty greetings. This is Ike Diagu, captain of the Nigerian men's national basketball team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, Ike.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Yo, 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 sporty greetings, man. I'm Evelyn Akato, forward for the Tigress Nigerian Women's National Team and Flams Carolo Basket. Bonjour, bonjour, my people. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contacting COVID-19.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The new Basketball Africa League will provide opportunities for young players on the continent. That's one of the main messages of a top Nigerian basketball administrator and statistician. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Obande Obole said the BAL will also grow the sport in Africa.
Yeah, this edition of basketball, the Basketball League in Africa, is indeed a worthy initiative, and it will definitely make basketball more popular, the already popular game more popular in the continent.
Do you also see local or national basketball competitions being more competitive in the continent to qualify for the Basketball Africa League?
Yes, I see local competitions being more competitive now because of the inherent benefits that the BAL has to offer basketball in the country, because we don't have too many competitions, and this will increase will bring an increase in the competitions that we get to play. So To qualify for this, you now know that it's no more business as usual, and you've got to padder to battle this, because the stories that, for instance, our own Rivers Hoopers will bring back is going to stir interest in this worthy initiative.
What's your message to African youths and basketball players on the Basketball Africa League and its benefits?
Well, to African youths and basketball players, well, I wish I was younger to play in this so that I enjoy what I've seen that these kids are getting now. So I would beg you, I would plead you to work harder so that you get to play at this stage on the continent, because you never know who is watching you. It might open doors for you onto better things.
That's Obande Obole, a Nigerian basketball administrator and statistician. And Obande spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Abuja, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Obande Obole, a statistician, basketball administrator. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Now let's go to Malawi, where Doreen Kumbatira is flexing her muscles and hoping to attract more women to bodybuilding. Lamek Messina tells us more about Malawi's first and only female professional bodybuilder. Sporty greetings, Lamek.
Sporty greetings from Malawi, Sunny. Well, yes, Malawi's first and only female professional bodybuilder, Doreen Kumbatira, is leaving no stone unturned in her career development initiatives. The 35-year-old athlete previously won gold and bronze medals at international shows in the bikini fitness category. One of her gold medal-winning performances came in 2019 in South Africa, where she won the bikini category at the Extreme Bodybuilding Competition, which attracted 18 contestants. The victory came about a month after she finished 8th out of 37 participants in the bikini category at the Arnold Classic Africa competition, also in South Africa. Now, Kumbatira, popularly known as D, says she has built enough muscles to compete in a bigger women's body fitness category, also known as figure category.
On stage, when I was doing bikini category, I was 68 kgs. Normally, I would be around 75 kgs. But now in the new category, I've had to put on some weight and muscle. So right now, I'm 90 kgs. Yes.
She says she has put on extra weight and muscle through rigorous daily gym workouts. However, Doreen says being Malawi's only professional bodybuilder is something she's not proud of. She says she hopes to inspire women to participate in the sport.
It would be amazing to have more female bodybuilders in the country. This will open up a lot of doors. It means local competitions will have people come in from outside the country to even compete and have competitions in Malawi. It would have maybe other companies come in the country that are doing supplements. Some, it can be a career. They can start competing outside the country. They can be models. They can do a lot of things with this.
However, many females say they shun the sport for fear of losing their feminine look. But Doreen denies this.
The thing is, there are some females, when they are doing this sport and they want to go to the extreme of looking like the male bodybuilders, they take hormones to look like men. So as women, naturally, we do not produce the male hormones like testosterone. I've been lifting for so many years. And if you see me walking, you still know that I'm feminine, I'm just fit. But I can never look like a man.
To debunk these fears, Kumbatira says she's planning to go to schools across Malawi, recruiting young women to the sport. In the meantime, Kumbatira, also a certified trainer, trains people in person and online. Grace Banda is among those benefiting from the training.
I had a problem with my pressure. So since I started working out with her, she's been giving me diets. We've been working out. I haven't had, you know, my high blood pressure the way I used to have. I've lost a considerable amount of weight. Yes, and I'm actually feeling good about myself.
Another athlete benefiting from Gumbatila's bodybuilding training is Ben Nyasuru.
I never had a trainer before. I never used to train with anyone. So I just needed help and guidance. And he just knew what my body needed, you know. The beauty about it was that when I got my vaccine, I experienced no side effects at all. And the people that got the vaccine on the same day, even my immediate boss, he didn't come to work the next day due to the side effects of the vaccine. I did not feel a thing at all. I was 100% fit and strong. And the confidence that it just gives me is just amazing.
Despite her success, Gumbatila says one challenge has been sponsorship. However, in 2019, a local water bottling company, Aqua Pure Water, offered her a partial sponsorship by supplying her with drinking water. And this year, the country's international fashion designer, Lily Alfonso, has offered to start sponsoring her outfit as well as her diet needs.
She has just shown another side of women that we never knew we have, but she's actually proving that you can always be who you want to be as a bodybuilder, as anything, because such kind of sports, we don't believe it in Malawi. But for her coming out as a bodybuilder, as a female, she'll be our ambassador for the sportswear.
Ruth Nzengo is a sports development officer for the Malawi National Council for Sports. She says Gumbatila is a product of the government's Women in Sports Commission, which advocates for gender balance in all sporting disciplines in the country.
Our rule is we want 50-50. When we are doing our programs, we try to get 50-50, but we don't want to just get women for the sake of being women. We want people that want to participate. If we can't get 50-50, at least 60-40.
She encourages Gumbatila to work extra hard so that she can get more sponsors and support from the commission. As of now, Gumbatila says she is working hard to excel in future international competitions. The Arnold Classic Africa bodybuilding event, originally scheduled for May in South Africa, has been postponed to later in the year because of COVID-19 related travel restrictions. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Lamek Masina in Blanta, Malawi.
My name is Nesli Catherine. I am the first female boxer from Uganda that will represent my country at the Olympics in Tokyo, Japan. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm telling the parents out there and the girls who are interested in boxing that please, parents, support your daughters in any sport, anything they would like, so that you do be the first, you do help them with the first blessing for the game. And the girls out there, please be disciplined and fear God first, because in fearing God, there is where you get the knowledge of everything and the blessings. And please be authentic to yourself, believe in yourself, and always keep in mind that everything is possible.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
The Sunny Side of Sports remembers two-time Olympic champion Lee Evans of the United States, who died Wednesday at a hospital in Lagos, Nigeria. Evans was 74. He suffered a stroke last week, and his family was trying to bring him back to the USA for treatment from Nigeria, where he coached athletics. Lee Evans won two gold medals for Team USA at the 1968 Mexico City Olympics in the 400 meters and the 4x400 meters team relay. In the 400 meters, Lee Evans became the first man to crack 44 seconds, winning the gold in Mexico City in 43.86 seconds. His then-world record time has since been lowered. The reigning Olympic champion in the 400 meters, the South African Wade van Niekerk, clocked a world record time of 43.03 seconds at the 2016 Olympics in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Lee Evans was a member of a Team USA squad that excelled on the track in Mexico City, but also sought to raise awareness of racial inequality during a year of tremendous social unrest here in the United States. The Mexico City Games took place shortly after the Reverend Martin Luther King and Senator Robert F. Kennedy were assassinated. And Lee Evans won gold in Mexico shortly after his teammates Tommy Smith and John Carlos were sent home from the Olympics for raising their gloved fists in a legendary Black Power salute on the Olympic medals podium. In interviews, Lee Evans said he was warned not to do anything similar on the medals podium. Instead, Lee Evans took a different approach, wearing a black beret to show support for civil rights organizations. Two-time Olympic champion and civil rights advocate Lee Evans of the United States, dead at the age of 74. If you tuned into Wednesday's show, you heard Maxim Maskalkov report on 16-year-old Bryce Wettstein, an American skateboarding prodigy who hopes to be on the medals podium in Tokyo. Skateboarding will be one of several new Olympic sports that will be introduced in the Japanese capital. This evening, in an encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, VOA's Gwen Uten tells us about another skateboarder, even younger than Wettstein, who will be competing for Team Great Britain. Sporty greetings, Gwen!
Sporty greetings, Sonny. In May of 2020, Sky Brown suffered a horrific 15-foot fall that resulted in multiple fractures in her skull, lacerations to her lungs and stomach, and broken bones in her left hand. Well, nearly 1 year later, the beaming skateboarding prodigy spoke to Reuters News from her home in the U.S. state of California and said she is fully recovered and stronger than ever.
I'm feeling stronger, actually, because it doesn't really make you stronger. But, yeah, it was a pretty hard time. My parents, like, I mean, they didn't really want me to skate before, but after that, they were like, there's no way you're going back on the skateboard. And they were just like, it was a very hard time. My brother was right behind the ramp watching that from behind. It was tough, but I'm good now and I'm still skating, which is good.
And Sky is still on course to become Britain's youngest Olympian at this year's Tokyo Games. She turns 13 in July, just 11 days before the start of the Olympics. And if she qualifies to compete, she'll break the 92-year record set by swimmer Marjorie Hinton, who was 13 years and 43 days old when she competed at the Olympics in 1928. In 2020, Sky was forced to put her Olympic dreams on hold after the Tokyo Games were postponed, but she says she used the one-year delay to improve her skills on the skateboard.
Well, at first, when I heard the Olympics, you know, was delayed, I was sad. I thought my dreams were, you know, gone. Like, I couldn't be in the Olympics anymore, and I felt sad, but then I realized it was just delayed, and, you know, we just get more time to get better, and I got to spend time with my family.
And Sky says she's got a few new tricks up her sleeve.
Going higher now, I've learned some new tricks, and I can't wait. It's going to be really cool, and I think all the girls are getting better too, so now we just have a better show.
Sky is set to compete as the only female member of Team Great Britain when skateboarding makes its highly anticipated debut at this year's Olympic Games. But Sky says she's already looking to broaden her horizons as a double threat Olympian on the skateboard and the surfboard.
It's really fun surfing because I love like surfing as much as I love skating. And I actually want to compete in surfing next year for the Olympics. The next Olympics in Paris.
We'll have to see whether or not Sky can qualify to surf for Great Britain in Tokyo. She would first have to compete in the British Cup, and it's still unclear if she'll be allowed to do so. But she always has Paris, and those games are in just 3 short years in 2024. In the meantime, Sky hopes to serve as an inspiration on her Olympic journey. And she has a message for everyone, especially female athletes who have fallen down and found the strength to get back up again.
Her message is, be brave, be strong, have fun, and do it because you love it. Don't let anybody stop you.
And nothing is stopping Sky Brown. Be sure to keep an eye out for Sky when the Los Angeles Olympics roll around in 2028. At that time, Sky will no doubt be making her third appearance at an Olympic Games, and she'll only be 19. The sky's the limit for Sky Brown. And that is all for me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden.
Yes, sporty greetings. This is 3-time Olympian and Beijing 2008 Olympic medalist, Chika Chukwumerijie. You're listening to the sunny side of sports on The Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Chika.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 1705 UTC on The Voice of America.
Thanks, Steve. That's my VOA colleague, Steve Miller. And I enjoyed chatting with Steve recently on International Edition about the new Basketball Africa League tournament taking place at the Kigali Arena in Rwanda. Taking a look at the league's official schedule, group play will end on Sunday, May 23rd. The quarterfinals will be played on May 25th and May 26th. With 2 games each day, the semifinals are scheduled for May 28th, the third place game on May 29th, and the first Basketball Africa League championship game on May 30th. Here in the USA, for the first time in more than 50 years, pitchers have thrown no-hitters on consecutive days in Major League Baseball. The AP's Mike Gracia reports.
There are now a half dozen no-hitters in the books so far in the 2021 Major League Baseball season. Corey Kluber of the New York Yankees threw the sixth no-hitter of the season Wednesday night in a 2-0 win over the Texas Rangers in Arlington, Texas. The 35-year-old right-hander almost had a perfect game. The lone base runner for the Rangers was Charlie Culberson, who drew a 4-pitch walk in the third inning. Kluber, a 2-time American League Cy Young Award winner, registered 10 strikeouts. It followed by one night a no-hitter by Detroit Tigers right-hander Spencer Turnbull against the Seattle Mariners, marking the first no-hitters on consecutive days in the majors since 1969. I'm Mike Gracia.
And that wraps up the May 20th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.